Friends, welcome. Welcome to St. Stephen's United Church on this, the first day in Lent. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As you can see, today is a communion Sunday. We will be celebrating Christ's resurrection, even though we are beginning Lent. So if you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice, go ahead and do that now. And let's join together in today's call to worship. As darkness gives way to light and winter sleep to fresh beginnings, we come today to be reminded of God's love for us. Like the green shoots of renewed life stirring beneath the soil, we welcome an awakening of God's word in our lives. In this time of reflection and repentance, we affirm our identity, we claim our security as children of God. If you have a habit of lighting a candle when you worship, let's do that together now. Let us pray. God of revelation, unveil your kingdom in our midst. Show us who we truly are in you. Expose the illusions that distort our vision. Deliver us from temptations that contort our living. Open our eyes in this time of trial, that resistance may be the secret of our joy, and our joy a sign of your shalom through Christ and in Christ. Amen.
Let's join together in saying our prayer of confession. Gracious and merciful God, we confess our reluctance to enter the wilderness places where we are confronted with our true selves, the places where we are tempted to put worldly values before our desire for you, and where our hunger for control is greater than our hunger for seeking and doing your will. Forgive us, O God, and increase our trust in you. We confess that so often we are tempted to use the gifts you give us to benefit ourselves at the expense of serving others. Forgive us, O God, and increase our trust in you. We confess that we are tempted to use sensational means to increase people's faith rather than being guided by the humility of Christ. Forgive us, O God, and increase our trust in you. Merciful God, save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. Forgive us our sins and fill us with the joy and peace of your salvation. Strengthen us with your Spirit during this Lenten season, so that we might put our whole trust in you as confidently as Jesus did. This we pray in his name. Amen. Dear friends, the word is very near to us, in our hearts and on our lips. In Christ, we are forgiven. Our lives are made new, and we are set free to live a future full of hope. This is good news, and so God's people say, Amen. It is a Communion Sunday, as you can see this week. And so, as is our practice, we proclaim our faith on these Sundays. So today, will you join me in saying together our new creed to do just that? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Our scripture reading for today is Psalm chapter 91, verses 1, 2, and 9 through 16. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Today's gospel reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Then the devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, No. The scriptures say, People do not live by bread alone. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. Jesus replied, The scriptures say, You must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, He will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, The scriptures also say, You must not test the Lord your God. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, here we are. Lent is upon us, friends. And as we do on this first Sunday in Lent, today we are invited to meet Jesus in this story of his time in the wilderness. Each year, this six-week Lenten journey begins with this story of Jesus' temptation. And today we are listening for the Holy Spirit's whisperings to us through Luke's telling of it. Many people believe, actually, that this last 2 years has been a wilderness experience for the church at large. And there certainly are lots of things about this time that do feel fairly wildernessy. the fact that we suddenly found ourselves taken out of our usual life together and thrust into what feels like a strange and somehow barren place, where we've had to try to find new ways to live out our call as disciples of Jesus. That sense of aloneness that we feel because we're not able to gather in community in the way that we love to. And the need for us to be able to dig down deep to maintain our connections with God and with each other, sometimes doing that through sheer willpower. Now, while the circumstances for us today are different, there really is, if you think about it, this distinct sense of this experience echoing those wilderness times that we hear about throughout the biblical story. It is not uncommon for people who have been chosen and called by God to find themselves going through these kinds of times, wilderness times. Just think about Israel's time in the wilderness, or David's when he was being pursued, Moses, of course, with Israel, and Elijah. All of these well-known biblical figures spent time in the wilderness, so Jesus probably wasn't that surprised when the Spirit led him into the wilderness for those 40 days. It seems to be something that happens as a way of preparing God's people for new beginnings, a beginning in which they will somehow step into being who they have been created and called to be in a whole new way. So, if this has been a wilderness time for us, then perhaps the first bit of good news for us today is maybe that's true for us. Maybe we are about to go to a new beginning. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Time will tell. Now, our reading for today has an interesting perspective, especially given its timing, coming to us on this Sunday when we are once again returning after a hiatus to in-person worship together, and hoping that this time it's the beginning of what will eventually be a full return to our life together. We're really, really hoping that we're approaching the end of our wilderness time. And I think that's actually why I may have noticed something in this reading that I'd never noticed before. Luke tells us that Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, but if you look at this passage, you see that the vast majority of it aren't about the whole 40 days, but details of just the end of it. Luke seems to have been inspired to tell us just about these last three temptations that Jesus faced as his wilderness time was coming to an end. That's interesting to me. Well, we read that Jesus was hungry. He'd been fasting for 40 days, so he would have been tired and weary. He must have felt completely spent. That hitting home for anybody but me? Because it does for me. I do feel tired and a bit spent, in all honesty. And I know I am hungry for so many things that we've been missing over these last 2 years. And I know that many of you are feeling the same. We're feeling a bit done, aren't we? And here we have Luke, led by the Holy Spirit, to ensure that we hear about these temptations that Jesus faced when he was weak and feeling spent and at the end of his wilderness time. It doesn't take a great deal of prophetic gifting to hear God's invitation for us to pay special attention today to these temptations that can come along when we're at our weakest. Oh, Jesus, give us ears to hear what you would be saying to your church today. Before we get into the details of the temptations themselves, it might be helpful for us to think a little bit about how they might have come. What was it like for Jesus to be tempted? How did that happen? Well, while we might imagine him having had the devil come and appear before him and say these things to him, The whole experience was, in more likelihood, probably much more ordinary seeming than that. Jesus was fully God, for sure, but he was also fully human. And so it's quite possible that temptation came to him in the way that it comes to lots of us, in the form of thoughts that come to our minds, thoughts that came when he was particularly vulnerable because he was so tired and hungry. Sound familiar? I think it's supposed to. Perhaps that's why, of all that must have happened over those 40 years, and he was tempted throughout them, maybe that's why Luke was inspired to give us the details of these three. Who among us has not had thoughts of ways we might rather quickly ease our difficulties? Who among us isn't looking for a quick way out of this wilderness right now? The desire to find a quick fix for our suffering is not new, and it's certainly not unique. It seems that even Jesus had thoughts like these. When you think about how we do have a tendency to do this, and then when you look and you read these three temptations Luke describes, you can see that really, in essence, that's exactly what they were. Jesus was hungry, and the devil tempted him to ease that hunger with just one little quick miraculous provision of fresh bread. He was facing his mission to inaugurate God's kingdom with his life and to secure it with his death. Now, whether Jesus knew the details of what was coming is not clear to us, but what is clear is that he knew he was about to be launched into that mission. And he'd lived long enough to realize that it wasn't going to be easy. And so the devil tempts him with these ideas of how he might take a couple of shortcuts in that. Just one little compromise of devotion to God. And one little potentially spectacular test of God's care for Jesus. And voila! People would instantly recognize that he was something special, and they would flock to follow him. No need to spend 3 years traveling around from pillar to post, teaching and healing. It would all be done like that. You can see that in these quite reasonable seeming thoughts, Jesus was being tempted to ease his most immediate pain and to avoid the difficulties that he must have known were coming. Three quick, nearly instantaneous, and notably pain-free ways for Jesus to achieve quite reasonable ends. Of course God wanted Jesus to be fed. Of course God wanted to see people give Jesus authority. Of course God wanted people to recognize Jesus for who he was and what he'd come to do, rescue God's people at last. Those are all good-sounding things. It was all so reasonable. And it all seemed to end towards things that sounded like really godly ends. But, and this is a big but that we must hear, it's not just the end that matters to God. How we get there matters just as much. The devil was tempting Jesus with some shortcuts, and Jesus recognized them for what they were. And in his tired, weakened state, somehow he managed to stand firm, determined to do what he was going to do, and determined to do it by following God's ways, not the devil's. My friends, we are fairly vulnerable to these kinds of temptations right now. We're done. We're tired, we're hungry, and we want our lives back. And I truly believe that God wants us to be through this time, to get back to our life and to our life together. But taking shortcuts is not God's style. Not because he wants us to suffer more, but simply because God's dream for us isn't just to relieve the pain we feel right now. God's dream for us is much bigger than that. God's shaping us into people who have everything that it takes to be able to live life in the fullness that he has for us, to be the people that he has called and created us to be, people who experience and share and positively vibrate with the life that we find when we live each day with God at the center. And we can become those people if we'll follow in Jesus' way. I wanted us to hear those verses from Psalm 91 today because I think they show us what this way is. I think they show us how we can do this, following in Jesus' way. Whether we're in a time of temptation or in a time that's less trying than that, the way of Jesus remains the same. We hear it in this psalm, particularly in those opening two verses. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You know, I wonder if the people who developed our lectionary have us start Lent each year by remembering Jesus' time in the wilderness, because the lessons there are for us in this are absolutely essential. Life brings all of us to wilderness times, not just in the form of pandemics, but in many ways. And there is both challenge and opportunity in these times. God wants us to know this and to know how to get through them, facing each challenge and embracing the opportunities that are within them for us to grow. So as we look to Jesus, we see that he faced each challenge that came, these temptations that we've heard about today, and everything that followed after. He faced them by following the wisdom we've heard from the psalmist, wisdom that Jesus would have had ingrained in him since he was a boy. Listen for it again. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, you will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Friends, in the wilderness and beyond, we follow in the way of Jesus by abiding in God, by knowing every day that God is our refuge, God is our fortress. God is the one in whom we put our complete trust. So when temptations come, and they will, I suspect for many of us they are right now. Before you follow those thoughts, take some time. Draw close, sit with God. Listen with courage and honesty to see what he's showing you or hear what he's saying to you. Abide in him. And then follow. Even if following isn't quite the quick fix we're hoping for. Because as Jesus is about to show us, as we spend this next week journeying with him to the cross and beyond, it is only by following in God's ways that we can actually achieve God's very good and altogether loving ends. Amen.
Good morning. It's my privilege to pray with you. Let's pray. Triune God, Father God above us, Jesus God beside us, Holy Spirit God within us, it's to you that we pray this morning. Jesus, Our minds are racing, going from exciting, happy thoughts to heartbreak and fear, all in a matter of seconds. Too much hate, discord, and death. How then shall we even pray? And then we hear your quiet, sweet voice. Simply talk to me, dear children. I'm here. Thank you. Please bring calm and peace to our hearts. Father, we lift up to you our brothers and sisters of this congregation, for those that have lost loved ones and those walking through life-altering illnesses. Make your presence known. Heal bodies, hearts, and minds, please. And all-knowing, all-powerful God, we pray desperately to end the fighting in Eastern Europe. This breaks your heart as you love people on both sides of this conflict. We ask that you show the leaders there and across the world a way for lasting peace. We will claim the words of Isaiah 61:3. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. For God has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his own glory. And Holy Spirit, living breath of God, lead us to the heart of Jesus. I will close this prayer with a prayer for Lent. These are not my words, but a prayer that I found. The author is uncredited. Dear God, in this season of Lent, we're reminded of our own difficulties and struggles. Sometimes the way has seemed too dark. Sometimes we feel like our lives have been marked by such grief and pain, we don't see how our circumstances can ever change. But in the midst of our weakness, we ask that you would be strong on our behalf. Lord, rise up within us. Let your spirit shine out of every broken place we've walked through. Allow your power to be manifest through our own weakness so that others will recognize it is you who is at work on our behalf. We ask that you would trade the ashes of our lives for the beauty of your presence. Trade our mourning and grief for the oil of joy and gladness from your spirit. Trade our despair for hope and praise. We choose to give you thanks today and believe that this season of darkness will fade away. Thank you that you are with us in whatever we face and that you are greater than this trial. We know and recognize that you are sovereign. We thank you for the victory that is ours because of Christ Jesus. And we are confident that you have good still in store for our future. We thank you that you are at work right now, trading our ashes for greater beauty. We praise you, for you make all things new. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Welcome to Jesus' table. Welcome to Jesus' table in your home. It is good to be here. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you have created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, by whose grace we may triumph over temptation, be more fervent in prayer, and be more generous in love. Therefore we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He took upon himself the weight of our sin and carried the burden of our guilt. He shared our life in every way, and though tempted, was sinless to the end. Baptized as your own, he went willingly to his death, and by your power was raised to new life. In his dying and rising, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. According to his commandment, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Let's say together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you now to consume the elements in your own home. Let's say together our prayer after communion. Life-giving God, we give you thanks for the gift of our Savior's presence in the simplicity and splendor of this holy meal. Unite us with all who are fed by the life of Christ, that we may faithfully proclaim the good news of your love, and that your church may be a beacon of hope in an uncertain world, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.
Even in these days of uncertainty, your faithful giving continues to make us very grateful here. Would you pray with me the prayer over these gifts offering them again to God's kingdom and his work. O Lord, with great gratitude and thanksgiving for your abundant mercy, we bring these gifts and ourselves for the work of your church, that we may truly be your body on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
A couple of announcements for us today. The first is, as you know, we have entered the season of Lent, and this is a season where many of us adopt some specific practices over these 6 weeks. One of those practices is often some form of fast, where you give something up. Our Creation Care team have found a fast that is particularly Creation Care focused. It's called a carbon fast, and they have posted the details of how we can engage in that if we so choose on the church website on the Creation Care section of the site. So if you cruise over to there and take a look at the Creation Care section, you will find an opportunity to do a carbon fast over these 6 weeks as a wonderful way of loving the earth, as we're called to do. We want to say a huge thank you to everyone who participated in any way in the Coldest Night of the Year walk and fundraiser. If you walked, if you prayed for people who were walking, if you gave, if you volunteered, however that you participated, thank you. Thank you so much for your heart for helping the most vulnerable in our community. The walk was a great success. The numbers are still being tallied because donations were still coming in at last report. And so as soon as we have a total, we will let you know how much was raised. But I know that the goals that were set for this area have been reached, and that is very, very good news for the folks at the Island Crisis Care Society. So thank you. Dear friends, whatever the wilderness is that the Spirit has led you to, walk in boldness, for you are a beloved child of God. Walk in peace, for you walk under the shelter of the Most High. And walk in faith, knowing that Christ walks with you. Amen.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I